Okay, for a message this morning, I invite you to turn with me to a very familiar passage in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Does anyone know what we call the first part of Matthew chapter 5? The Beatitudes, yes. Verse 6, he says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I've titled the message this morning, "How Hungry Are We?" I guess another question you could ask is, are we hungry? And then, how hungry are we? I thought it was kind of fitting that today is time change, and we set our clocks back an hour, so this is usually would have been almost 12 o'clock. So maybe we're feeling the hunger pains a little bit more than usual. But I hope we understand that we're not talking about a physical hunger. I believe this is talking about a spiritual hunger and thirst, and the promise is that we shall be filled if we hunger and thirst after righteousness. The word righteousness there, we look it up in the Greek, it has to do with, sometimes when we think of righteousness, we think about doing something. You know, even when we think about dying or if we're ready to die, our thoughts immediately go to what we're doing. Well, this word righteousness talks about a state that we are in, about being. And I think that comes right in alignment with what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Nothing we can do. By grace are we saved through faith. And so we accept the righteousness of God, which creates in us a new creation. God does his work in us. And the words hungry and thirsty, similar words, but to be hungry, simply, to be needy, or to earnestly desire. The root word, the Greek word comes from, means to famish. You know, so that's getting pretty hungry when we're famished. The Greek word for thirst is to thirst for or to desire earnestly. So it is something that we really want. It's kind of, I think, a sequel message to the message that I had here some time ago on earnestly seeking God or diligently seeking God. Psalm 41, the psalmist says, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." In Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Jeremiah 2 verse 13 says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." In today's world, today's age we live in, we see many people who are hungry and thirsty, obviously. But they're looking for sustenance, they're looking for food, they're looking for bread in all the wrong places. So when we think about earnestly desiring, and this is talking about earnestly desiring righteousness, so according to the Greek word, when we look at the word righteousness, it's talking about a state of being. So it is saying, it is not talking about earnestly desiring to do something, but it's talking about earnestly desiring to be someone. And I think that's quite a difference. Because one of the things that we see, there's two directions that I think we generally tend to go in when we're hungry for something. We're looking for something to fill the void in our hearts. One of those is we go after sin. We seek fulfillment in sin. And we, you know, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will lead you, keep you longer than you want to stay. I can't get the words of all the words of that song. But anyway, it takes you places you don't want to go. It, as the psalmist says, the way of a transgressor is hard. You know, the way back is hard. In our Sunday school lesson, James was talking about a time years ago when he made a wrong turn on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and there was no exit for 20 miles. So he had to go 20 miles one way and 20 miles back, a total of 40 miles, to come back where he wanted to be. And the Bible talks about reaping what we sow. So when we sow in a carnal sense, when we sow sin, we have to reap that. And the way of repentance, it's not always easy to come back. There will be consequences sometimes. There will be things that will go after us because of sin. And, you know, we do recognize the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ and what that can do for us in setting us free. However, sometimes if we have gone after sin, there are things that will come after us, and we reap because of that. The other direction, which I think is probably more common in our circles, is going after the way of religion. And that is where we try to please God by doing. The text verse that I used in the message on diligently seeking God says that, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when we look at religion and we look at doing, we recognize that when we try to do to save ourselves, we try to do to produce righteousness, it's actually the opposite of faith. It is actually doubt and unbelief. Where true righteousness is coming from being. And when we be, we will do. If that makes sense. So, just because we're doing something doesn't mean we are something. Matter of fact, a lot of times we are not. And the fact that we are doing to try to earn our salvation bears testimony to the fact that we are not resting in who God says we are. So those are the two directions that so often we go to when we try to fill the emptiness within us. And we're hungry, and we're looking for sustenance and bread in all the wrong places. Revelation 3, verses 14 and 19 speaks into that. And it says, and unto, in verse 14 of Revelation 3, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So here it's talking about religion. It's talking about going after things and looking, thinking that we have something that's filling our hunger when actually we don't. You know, not realizing our state. And that goes back into what Jesus was talking about with the religious leaders in his day, where he said they make the outside of the cup and platter clean, but within they are full of all uncleanness and dead men's bones. You know, totally unclean and full of filth and garbage. And so many times, you know, we try to do that because it's within us. The human nature wants to do something to make ourselves good, to make ourselves accepted. But Ephesians tells us that it is not of works that any man should boast. So God completely takes away our need of doing anything to receive His acceptance. To simply trust God. To simply trust in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And there is no need to have any of these things that he's talking about here, saying that I am rich, I am increased with goods, I have need of nothing, and not knowing that they are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And he's telling them, buy gold that is tried in the fire. Come to me and find your sustenance, find your need. Everything that you need will be met in me, he says. And I have to think of the words that many of you said last Sunday when we talked about who Jesus is, who or what is Jesus to us. And there were many powerful words that were shared here of who Jesus is. And yet, in spite of us knowing that in our mind, so many times in our heart, we don't understand that. We don't get that. You know, when we think of it in the physical sense, we cannot expect that we can go out and eat a bunch of junk food and then sit down to a meal of healthy food, nutritious meal of vegetables and so forth, and be hungry for it when we've been gorging ourselves on junk food. And I think the same thing is true when we look at sin or religion. When we are gorging ourselves in the spiritual sense on sin and on religion, we cannot expect that we'll have a hunger for a nutritious meal from the Word, from the living God Himself. You know, if we think, and I think this is, we could go into the thing of what is it that keeps us from coming to God with our hunger. And I think one of those, the biggest things that comes to my mind is lies. When we don't believe and don't understand who God actually is. When we see God as the dad with the big stick, you know, just waiting for us to mess up so he can give us a whop across the rump. You know, we have a wrong concept of God. That is a lie from the enemy. That is a lie from the devil. Because that is not who our Father is. And another big lie that I believe is prevalent in our day, and I believe it has to do with religion, when we think about the thing of thinking that we have to do something in order to be accepted of God, in order to please God, we have to do something, and we think that if we mess up, that God is not pleased with us, that God does not love us, and God does not receive us. We think our sin pile is so big and so rotten that God cannot receive us. And so, even though the Bible tells us that God removes our sins as far as the east is from the west, that He remembers them no more, we keep bringing those loaded diapers, those filthy rags, and we pile them up on a heap, and it's like we are here and that big heap of sin is here and God is on the other side, and we just can't get a close relationship with God because we think our sin is so big that God can't receive us and accept us. And we keep trying to do something to get rid of the sin. And actually, when we do that, we continue putting more to the pile because we are actually walking in unbelief, in doubt, in unbelief, and in a spirit of performance, a spirit of religion. And we continue throwing stuff into filthy rags into God's face. The truth of the matter is that God is not on the other side of our sin. God is right here with us. And, you know, He might look at the pile of sin and say, well, son or daughter, you've been busy. But He is not shook from His fatherhood because we sinned. He does not reject us as His children because we sinned. If that were true, then Jesus would not have ended the story of the prodigal son the way He did. With the father, what did the father do? He didn't just sit back and wait for the son to come. He ran to meet him. Once the son was repenting, he ran to meet him. He was watching for him. All the time the father was saying, return, return, return. And he received him as a king. He didn't receive him as a servant like the son thought he might. We see the true heart of the Father, of who God really is. But the devil wants us to believe that somehow our sin has been so big that God can't receive us, that, you know, we have to do something to make this sin go away. And we just add more to the pile. So how hungry are we today? What is keeping us from being hungry if we're not hungry? The Bible talks about in the last day, men departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. And I can't quote all of that, but it also talks about whose God is their belly in another passage in Scripture. And not talking about this, you know, although this may have part of it, because we like to eat good. We like to have an easy life. And I think that's what it's talking about. Whose God is their belly. We don't like to take up the cross. We don't like to have the flesh subdued. We like to go after the flesh. We like to have nice houses. We like to have money in our bank account. We like to be able to come and go and do as we please. We like to, if it feels good, to do it. I believe that's what he's talking about, having our belly, our human desire, as a god. And that stifles when we go after those things, when we refuse to surrender to God, and we do not see God, we do not believe that God has everything that we need, it stifles hunger for God, hunger after true righteousness. You know, we may have plenty of hunger for religion, for trying to do things, but we don't have the hunger to be who God wants us to be. Because ultimately we don't see God as the loving Father that He actually is. So how hungry are we? Here, some time ago, I was listening to Dave Ramsey teaching on finances, and he was talking about this teacher, preacher, motivational speaker, whatever you call him, by the name of Les Brown. And he's a colored fellow, a black fellow, and he talks a little bit different, but he says, you have to be hungry. And if you're not hungry, you know, you're not going to succeed. In other words, talking about being motivated. And I think that's the way we need to be in the spiritual sense. We need to be hungry. You know, where we're willing to do whatever it takes. That there is nothing that is more important to us than to be in the presence of the Father. And the psalmist says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. You know, we might think that joy comes from having a large bank account or having a large farm or having a large house or having the vehicles that we want. And Brandon, I'm right with you, and I like cars too. Not as much as I used to, but God is changing my desires, I think. The Bible talks about, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Well, I thought my desires of my heart were to have a fleet of cars. Well, I'm finding out that actually wasn't the desire of my heart. What my heart actually craves is to know God and for God to know me. For the truth of God to be in the inward parts. That is actually the desire for every human being. And the devil tries to tell us that, you know, if we would have this, if we would have that, then, you know, our desires would be met. When God, Jesus Christ, is the only one that can meet that desire that we have. Les Brown tells the story of how when he was a young boy, he was going from house to house and he was, you know, knocking on doors trying to sell TVs. And there was another friend of his that was with him, and they would go up and they would knock on the door and the door would open and they'd ask, you know, would you like to sell a nice TV set? No money down. And the door would slam shut. And they, or the, first of all, the person will say no, and they slam the door in their face. Well, that happened one time to his friend, and he looked back at his friend, and his friend was going back to the car. And so he asked him, well, what are you doing? He said, well, I can't handle this. I'm going back to the car. I'll just wait for you here. You go on and do it. So Les kept on going to the next door, knock on the door, same thing. You want to buy a TV? No. Bam, door slammed shut. He kept on doing that, and he said after three or four times, he quit taking it personal. I'll back up a little bit. He said that his friend had parents who were taking care of him, and so his friend wasn't hungry. He said he was in a situation where his mom was ill, and he was an adopted child, and he was hungry. He needed the income from selling these TVs to make it, to eat. He was hungry. And so he kept going, and he said that, he came to the place where he wasn't taking it personal anymore when people slammed the door in his face, and it became more like a game to him that he said, you know, with all the no's he's gotten and all the houses out here, there's got to be a yes here somewhere. And he said, I'm going to find that yes. And he did. And he referred to a statement that Winston Churchill made that courage is going through failure after failure without losing enthusiasm. But to keep on going, you know, that is when you're really hungry. And you know, so many times when we pursue God and we're pressing in towards God, we have failure after failure after failure where we don't find what we're looking for. We're not being filled. We're not finding what we're looking for. So the question is, does that create hunger in us, or does it create a stifling of the hunger? Does it create discouragement? Can we continue on pressing into God even though it seems like the skies are lead and, you know, our prayers and our thoughts aren't going any further than the ceiling and God isn't breaking through, the heavens are closed and we're not hearing from God, and we continue on pressing towards God and we get discouraged with that and we're ready to just give up and throw in the towel and just forget this whole Christianity thing because it's not worth it and God doesn't exist. We'll just go do whatever. You ever felt like that? I know I have. But within me, in my spirit, there is something that says, no, you don't do that. You keep on going in faith. I was telling my wife this morning that I think as we grow in our Christian lives, that the tests will become harder. And you remember when we look at the word testimony, what happens when you don't pass the test? All you have is a money. But when you pass the test, now you have a testimony. And so as children start out in school, they go to preschool. I'm not sure if they have tests in preschool or not. In first grade, I'm pretty sure they'd have tests. And if us as adults, we look at the tests of a first grader, it'd be pretty easy for us to pass it, right? We probably wouldn't have to do any studying to pass the test of a first grader. But what about the test of an eighth grader? Or a 10th or 12th grader. When we get into those grades, you know, with algebra and everything, things that I don't know anything about, I couldn't pass that test. And I think it's the same way in the spiritual life. As we grow, as we are babes in Christ, and as we drink the milk of the Word, and as we grow in our life, and as we have our senses exercised by reason of use, as it talks about in Hebrews, the tests become harder. Because God knows that we are capable of more. And He wants us to be tested. And you know, we have to be careful that we remember that when bad things come our way, it wasn't necessarily God that brought that to us. God may not have been the author of that situation, that trial. It may have been the enemy. And God allowed it because He wants to use it for our good. You know, like the things that happened to Joseph, for example, or Job, or Daniel, or a lot of other people we could refer to in the Bible. So when we're pressing into God and we're experiencing failure after failure after failure, and it seems like we're not getting anywhere, don't give up. Because the thing is, as we press toward God, we become more hungry. We become more desperate. We want God more and more. And if we give up, then we are allowing the enemy to have his foothold in our lives, and we are allowing this hunger to be stifled. We're quenching the spirit. And when we continue pressing in towards God and we continue giving recognition to who we are in Christ, regardless of what we are feeling, we are giving recognition to the new creation that we are in our spirit, and we're not giving way to the feelings that we have in our soul that are saying, you know, you're no good, God's not going to receive you, And you know, it even happens in our praise when we're praising God that the devil bombards us with all these negative things and says, well, you know, you can't praise God. You can't come into the presence of God because you are worthless. You know, you have done this. God can't receive you because of all your sin. There's just no way that you can be good enough. Well, the thing about it is that's the devil talking to us. That is the devil trying to discourage us, because ultimately what the devil doesn't want to happen, he doesn't want us to be filled. He doesn't want us to be filled with that Spirit, where it talks about in Galatians 5:16, this will say then, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That is talking about in our spirit, we have the living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ living in our spirit, which is actually who we are. But what God is wanting to do is He is wanting our soul to be sanctified. He is wanting the life of Christ to come over into our soul, and He wants us to walk and to live out of that, out of our soul. So as long as we are giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, the lies that are in our soul, and we continue to live and walk out of that, we're going to continue to not find what we're looking for. We will not be filled. And I don't think the filling is just a one-time thing that happens just one time. You know, when Jesus was there with the woman at the well in Samaria, He said, you know, draw from this water. If you drink from this water, you're going to be thirsty again. But if you drink of the water that I will give you, you will never thirst. And I don't think that's just a one-time thing. I think, you know, we can be born again. We can have the Holy Spirit within our spirit. We can be seated in the heavenly realm with Christ. But within our soul, there's a need of sanctification. And I think that is what this filling is talking about, being filled in the Spirit, but also being filled in our soul, for the mind, will, and emotions, the heart, to be brought into alignment with what God says, with the Spirit of God. But it's up to us to trust God with that. You know, and as long as we are not trusting God, as long as we are believing that God is some, you know, big daddy with a stick standing over us, we're not going to be hungry. Who wants a daddy like that? You know, I don't. But when we see God as a God of love, a God of power, a God of strength, a God of victory, a God that takes us and receives us and empowers us to go out and to work in His kingdom, that is the God I want to know. That is the God I'm hungry for. So the only question is, how hungry are we? How would this affect our church, our culture, our people, our nation, if all of us would be so hungry for God that there would be nothing else that would even come close? Our hunger for God is up here, and anything else closest to it is way down here, including our family. You know, maybe too many times our family's down here and our money and pleasure and things like that are up here, or maybe up here, and our hunger for God is way down there somewhere. But what God wants is for us to have the hunger for Him a priority that transcends everything and anything else in life, including our family. And that is what Jesus was talking about, loving Him so much that in comparison, we would be hating our father and mother and brother and sister or family. Because we love Him so much that we're willing to do anything. And so back to the story in the bulletin, the little boy that stood in the offering plate and he said, I give you me. That is ultimately, that is what Jesus wants, is us. Relationship. He doesn't want our performance. He doesn't want our works. Those things will automatically come out of our lives if we want Him. And if we know Him. We love Him because He first loved us. And when we're so hungry for Him, for that love, that we're willing to do anything, we press into that, then the fruit of the Spirit will begin to flow out of us. And I'm talking to born-again people here. You know, I'm not talking, if we're not born again, then first of all, we need to become born again. Because we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless we're born again. We cannot have the Spirit of Christ living within our spirit unless we're born again. But I trust I'm speaking to mostly born-again people here today. Proverbs 27 verse 7 says, "The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet." We get that. You know, we would enjoy, how many of you would enjoy a piece of honeycomb right now? That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? Especially with it being late, past time that we usually eat. But something bitter. Some kind of pill that you would open up and you would try to eat some of that dry powder, some bitter herb or something, that maybe you're sick and you need that to be healed. The full soul loatheth in honeycomb. So when we are so full of ourselves that we don't see our need of God, we're not hungry. And we would even loathe something that's sweet. We don't like it, because we're so full of ourselves. But to the hungry soul, even the bitter thing is sweet. And that is why we would be willing to continue pressing on with failure after failure after failure, to keep on pressing in towards God, because we are really hungry. We really want God. We really want to know God. We're not content with mediocre. We're not content with religion. There is no power in religion. Religion is dead. And I'm talking about the thing of performance. There is a true religion, a religion that really teaches us to know the Father, to know Jesus Christ, the simplicity of the gospel. But I'm talking about dead religion is what I'm talking about when I refer to religion. Someone has said that if you take a piece of cold cooked broccoli and you hold it up here, if your children aren't jumping up and snapping at that, they're not really hungry. You know, I don't think any of us has really have been hungry in the physical sense. I don't think we know what hunger is. And maybe we don't know what hunger is in a spiritual sense. If our lives would be on the line, and there would be persecution in our country to where we would know that if we say yes to Jesus Christ, that if that gets found out, that means we're going to go to be burned at the stake, or we're going to be beheaded or drowned or whatever. We're going to be killed. Would that make a difference in our hunger? I think it would. That would really make us think about how serious we are about following Jesus Christ, about being a disciple, a servant of Jesus Christ. And we, in our land of plenty, in our freedom of religion, we sit here so many times and we try to patch the old. We try to live in the spirit of religion and performance in deadness instead of becoming a new man, a new person in Jesus Christ, because we're not hungry. In John 6, Jesus was talking to the people, he's teaching in the temple to the people about the thing of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And he said, except you do that, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Or except you do that, or if you do that, you will have eternal life, I think is what he said. And that from that time, it says, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. That's in John 6, verses 66 to 69. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Are you also going to leave me? And Simon Peter answered him, and he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And that was before they even understood the kingdom concept of why Jesus was here. Because we look at Acts chapter 1, They were still expecting Jesus to establish a kingdom here on this earth. They asked, Lord, are you not going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. He was talking about a complete different kingdom. But the disciples, they were hungry. They were looking for truth. They were looking for the real thing. You know, if others quit following Jesus, will we also go away? Or are we hungry? Will we continue pressing in spite of what people think? In spite of how hard it is? You know, today it's considered, in our culture, it's considered popular to be a good Christian. And I think that's one reason why this performance thing is so prevalent. Because when we perform, you know, it makes us look better. It gives us a good reputation. Versus when you have someone who is completely sold out to Jesus Christ, and he or she is willing to do whatever it takes, whatever the Lord says do, even if it isn't popular, but it's what the Father is saying to do. That is discipleship. To do that in spite of what religion says, in spite of what looks good, that is a real hunger. A desire to be who God says I should be. Who God says He created us to be. I'm willing to do anything. I'm willing to go anywhere. I'm willing to work any job. I'm willing to live anywhere. I'm willing to say anything that He wants me to say because I'm hungry. Just a few scriptures here in closing. I mentioned this Psalm 16, verse 11 a little earlier. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You know, so many times we are looking for the joy and for the pleasures somewhere else. But what he is telling us here is he has everything we need for joy, for pleasure, to give us the desires of our heart. And it doesn't mean that he's going to give us the desires of our carnal heart. It means that he will change the desires of our heart to want what he wants. John 8, verses 37 and 38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So is that saying if we go and do, that will out of our belly will flow rivers of living water? No, it says if you believe. Believe on me. If we come to him and drink, and we find that. And I believe that's a continuing to seek that and to find that. Close with Revelation 22, verses 16 and 17. It says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And that is the invitation that is still standing for us today. And one of these days, that door is going to shut. But right now, that invitation is there. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? He says, come. Take of the water of life freely. He will meet the need that we have. He will supply that. He will fill us. He says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. That is standing today. But it won't be forever. At some time, that invitation is going to be closed. And we won't have the opportunity anymore. Seek him while he may be found. Draw near to God and he will draw nigh to you, he says. Let's kneel to pray.